And Atmos, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and we've been learning about what it means to have boldness in our Christian lives. And I'm reminded of the proverb who tells us that the wicked, even though nobody is chasing them, they're afraid. There's a fear inside those who are wicked. But it then says, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. It's that boldness that the Holy Spirit is calling us to have in the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And yet, many of us, we don't live that way in our lives. That's not how our faith is coming out in an expression. So I want to ask you, as we begin, what is it that took away your spiritual boldness? You know, some of you remember being spiritually bold, you know, in your lives. What took that away from you? Was it a divorce that took that away from you? Was it something that happened to your family a long time ago, and still you carry that in your heart? What is it that took away your spiritual boldness? Our passage today in Hebrews 11, we look at this definition of faith. And this definition of faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, confidence or conviction of the things not seen. And it reminds us that we are to be living these powerful, confident, bold Christian lives in the faith. And however and you lost that courage, today the Lord through this passage is calling us to get it back and to see that thing, whatever your thing is, to look at that with eyes of faith. So if you would open up your Bibles to Hebrews 11, I'm just going to read the first three verses of Hebrews 11, and it goes like this. Now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible. Think about that. Think about what it just said. By faith we see everything in the world, and we know that by faith that the things that are visible were actually created by something invisible. Faith is, according to John Piper, spiritual seeing. That's what faith is to look at everything through the lens of faith. And we're going to take a look at that, what it means to look at everything in our lives through the lens of faith, especially that thing I asked you just a moment ago. What is the thing taking away your spiritual courage? We need to learn how to look at that with eyes of faith. So let's bow our heads. Let's ask the Lord for help as we look at this passage together. Father, you told us that your sheep know your voice. I pray that the brothers and sisters who are gathered here today, as they listen to the sermon, they would not hear me speaking, but somewhere in the sermon that they would identify your voice and they would hear your voice. Because you said that my sheep, they know my voice. Speak to your sheep. Speak to us courage and boldness back into our faith today. We trust you. We wait on you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love and help now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When I look at this passage, and I'm not going to have time to look at the entire chapter, but when you do look at the entire chapter, you see that it tells us not only what faith is, it gives us a definition, but it also shows us what faith does. In the second part, and in the lion's share of the passage, you have more than 15 examples of people who lived by faith. It's normally called the Hall of Faith, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But we start here first by looking at what faith is, and then we'll look at what faith does. So what faith is this. It says it's the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of the things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, faith, you could talk about faith in a lot of different ways. Now, there's inside of faith a very particular kind of faith called saving faith. And saving faith is when we say, so if you have faith and you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done, and if you believe that particular kind of faith, you get saved. So we call that saving faith. But faith is not just saving faith. Faith is a broader thing than just believing in Jesus Christ for your salvation. It's believing in Jesus Christ for the rest of your life and for all of eternity, right? So if you think about it, there's saving faith and then there's walking faith. There's how you walk through life. And this is not talking about saving faith in particular. This is talking about a broader understanding of faith, walking by faith. And it says that that kind of faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of the things not seen. Essentially, it's a promises perspective. It's a way of living life where you're looking at everything in your life and yourself through this lens of promises. You're believing in things that you have not seen yet. That's the difference between hope and faith. You know, a lot of people in the world, they think that we're just very hopeful people here in the church, right? But that's the difference. Hope is just wanting something in your life. Faith, it says, is the assurance that you're going to get it. Right? It's the assurance that you're going to get it. That's the difference. And it's seeing through that promise all of your life. And so that's what spiritual seeing is. It's an entire lens of looking at things in your life. It's through faith. And we all have lenses. I remember when our Mosaic staff, we went through the Enneagrams. If you've heard of an Enneagram or you've done a personality test, you saw this where people are looking at each other and they go, oh my gosh, you're such an ENFT or whatever it is. You're such a type 5. That's such a type 1 thing to do. And you're looking at everything now through this particular lens of the Enneagram. This also happened with the introvert-extrovert kind of dichotomy, but that was always kind of confusing for me because now they explain introvert-extrovert in such a complicated way that they sound exactly the same. You can be an introverted-extrovert, an extroverted-introvert, I don't know. But it's a way of looking at things. Some people have an entrepreneurial eye, and they see a truck coming down the road, and they think, I wonder how you make money moving logs, right? Everybody has a lens through which they see the world. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is a lens where we look at everything in our lives through the promises of God. Now, this also has been kind of hijacked by the Name It and Claim It group, saying that you can believe, name and claim that you're going to be a multimillionaire, you're going to get a Bentley, and if you name it and claim it, then you're walking by faith. But we know, brothers and sisters, that we only name and claim the promises of God that are in Scripture. We cannot make up our own promises. We claim the promises that God has given to us in Scripture. Like the promise that you will be sanctified and you will be changed and you will become a man and woman of God like you have never seen in your life. That's a promise. You never promised a Bentley from the Lord. We claim the promises that He has given to us. And the way that we claim it is we look at the world differently through the lens of faith. And we need to learn how to do this in our own lives. We need to really learn how to do this in our own lives. There are 5 phrases that I force my 7-year-old daughter to repeat over and over again. And it goes like this. Almost on a daily basis, I have her say this. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what other people say of me. I am a child of God, and He loves me today. She says that over and over and over again. Now, why do I have her repeat those things? Because as she's going to second grade, I'm teaching her how to walk her life in second grade by faith, to see her life differently, that despite all the pressures of even second graders, these pressures on these second graders, I get their report cards and I don't even know what it means. It has like 8 different numbers accompanied by like 7 other numbers. But there's all this pressure, there's so much evaluation going on, and I want her to know and I need her to know that you are not what you do. You're not what you do. Whether you're a lawyer or a doctor or a child and a student, you're not what you do. You're not what you have. In Bergen County, she's going to encounter people who have things that she does not have. And she's going to be tempted to identify with her lack. Or she's going to be tempted to identify with her abundance. She needs to know that she's not what she has. And she's not what other people say of her. You wouldn't believe what parents say about little second graders and what kids say about each other now. It's amazing. But she's not what other people say of her. She is a child of God, and He loves her today. That's something that I give to my daughter because I need her to put on the lens of faith and to see herself through the lens of faith. Do you have faith? It's an interesting question. Some of you do have courageous faith. Others really need to reclaim looking at yourself through the lens of faith. You're looking at yourself through a different lens, and it's causing you to see yourself in a way that's not helpful to the sanctification that God has promised for you, and you're not living courageously into it. That's what faith is that lens to see it, according to Hebrews 11. Now, from there, we see what faith does. What happens when faith is downloaded into a person? What happens when faith is given to a person's eyes and those lenses in order to see their life? This is what happens. When you look at the passage here, if you have the Bible, I just encourage you to scan through the passage, because it's fascinating, all of these different stories of faith in here. Because, you know, I found something in Hebrews, look at verse 19. There are some interesting things in here, because they claim some things that we have not seen earlier in the Bible. So, for example, you all know the Abraham story, and yet, as we're told the Abraham story in Genesis, we were never told of the internal motivations that he had in his heart. Right? We just saw him being commanded to go up to Mount Moriah and to sacrifice Isaac, and we saw him do that, but we never understood what was going on in the inside of his heart. Hebrews 11 actually tells us what he was thinking. Hebrews 11 tells us what Moses was thinking. Look at verse 19. This is what it says. He says, Abraham, by faith, offered up Isaac because he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. I didn't know that. I didn't know that's what he was thinking. But Hebrews gives us this microscope into his soul and the things that he was thinking along the way. And why it's doing that is it's showing us the power of faith when it enters someone's life. You see, without this, we would have seen Abraham's story and Moses' story and other stories and just thought, wow, these are amazing people. In fact, it's called the Hall of Faith. And that's what we would have thought. That just kind of like the Hall of Fame, we would say, wow, Babe Ruth, once-in-a-lifetime player. Jackie Robinson, once-in-a-lifetime player. But that's actually not the point of Hebrews 11. The Hebrews 11 is not meant to showcase Abraham. It's not meant to showcase Moses. This is not the Hall of Faith in that sense. It's a showcase for faith. That's why it's showing you the internal motivations. It's saying to you, it's not because Abraham was such an extraordinary person. It was because he held an extraordinary faith. The same faith that's in your heart was in his. And yet he was walking by it. You see, it's actually democratizing this power and saying that you can also have this courageous power in your life, because it's not showcasing Abraham, it's showcasing his faith and saying that you also have the same source of power, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's what you have as well. That's why the righteous are as bold as a lion. Because this kind of righteousness and boldness is not excluded to those who are in Hebrews 11, but it's excluded to those who hold faith truly. That's faith. What faith does is it gives us this unprecedented courage to live our lives in a way that we've never lived before. That's what Hebrews 11 is showcasing here. Read verse 32 to 37 with me. He continues here. He says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, now listen to this, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. This is not about people. This is about what faith can do. You get that? This is what faith can do. Now, this is so important, because oftentimes we read the Bible and we feel like, I could never do that. I can barely sacrifice golf on a Saturday morning, let alone sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah, right? We just feel like this is so distant from us. There's no relation between me and Moses. What Moses did and was able to do and me, I mean, I'm just an average Joe. It's so important that it showcases faith, because it's trying to strip us of that doubt. It's trying to strip us of the doubt that we can't be in the Hall of Faith. Because the reality of the situation is, you are in the Hall of Faith. You are also in the Hall of Faith for those who walk by this powerful source of power. You have the same substance, the same assurance of the things hoped for, conviction of the things not seen. But you have to start looking at yourself through these spiritual eyes. So I want to ask you the question again that I asked you at the beginning of the sermon, which was, what is the thing that took away your power? What is the thing that took away your courage to live your life with faith? not to go through life just making common sense decisions. When you read Hebrews 11, you see people who are not operating by logic. You don't see people who are operating merely by common sense, because they're looking through a new lens. And you see, I think that this is so important for us to understand, that faith is not just merely defying your eyes and defying your logic. Right? Sometimes we think that way, and sometimes people who are outside of the church feel that way. You guys have this ability to suspend rationality, right? And you guys know what common sense is, but you have this power. Maybe it's through meditation, or maybe it's whatever you guys do on Sundays. You have this power to suspend rationality and logic. But actually, that's not faith, right? How long can you do that? Not very long. Romans tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice because that is our logical worship or spiritual worship, meaning to sacrifice our lives is a new kind of rationality, a new kind of logic. It's not suspending logic, but it's a new logic for the way that we look at our lives through the lens of the Spirit. When people do that, they are able to live with unprecedented courage in their spiritual lives. Unprecedented for your lives, you are able to tap into power. I asked you, what is the thing that happened to you? What is the thing that is holding you back from this kind of life? Whatever that thing is, my brother and my sister, whatever that thing is, you have to look at that thing through the lens of faith. Every one of the people in Hebrews 11 had a thing. Everyone had one. Joshua had the walls of Jericho. Abraham had Mount Moriah. Moses had the Red Sea. What's your thing? They had to look at their thing, the thing that was in the way of their courageous faith. They had to look at it with eyes of faith. Is it for you your marriage? Is it for you your family? Is it for you whatever is going on in the back of your heart that tells you you can't be like that? That thing is going to be the pivot in your story in the hall of faith, just like it was for the Red Sea in Moses' life, just like it was at Mount Moriah for Abraham's life. They had a thing that they had to look at with eyes of faith. Your thing that you think is keeping you from a courageous life is actually the pivot point of the plot in your hall of faith story. And so I encourage you, brothers and sisters, start to look at it with the lens of faith, knowing that the promises of God are yes and amen. I want to bring this home to you before I close. Let me say it this way. Wives, do you know that inside of your husband, there's another husband? I know it sounds weird, but let me explain what I mean by that. You know, the promises of God are that your husband is going to be sanctified and changed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So inside of your husband, there is a man who leads with conviction. There is a man who loves Jesus Christ and is able to lead with boldness and assurance in his Lord. And sometimes wives will say, I've never seen that. I've never seen him do anything like that. No evidence at all. Never. I've never seen that. Faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, conviction of the things not seen. Mothers, do you know that inside of you there is another mother? There is a mother inside of you who is not fearful about what happens to her children because she knows that God holds them in the palm of his hand. It's a mother who does not just worry but prays. A mother who's not just taking in information and becomes more uncertain, but is like a tree planted by streams of water. Do you know that that mother is inside of you because of the promises of God? And your husband might say, I've never seen her like that. I've never seen her do anything like that. Faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, conviction of the things not seen. Brothers and sisters, Hebrews 11 is telling us that there is a possibility and even more a promise that we will live courageous Christian lives under the mighty, mighty gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have to look at it ourselves with eyes of faith. You're not what you do. You're not what you have. You're not what other people say of you. You are a child of God, and his promise is that he will bring that boldness and faith out of you. When you start to look at everything through eyes of faith, you will start to experience an unprecedented courage that takes hold of your life that you've never experienced before. And this church and this world will be different when people start walking by faith. Let's pray. I just want to ask you to take your prayers to the Lord, and that thing that I asked you to think about, I really ask you to bring it to the Lord in prayer. Whatever that thing is, you need to bring it to him with full faith and assurance, knowing that he has promises and answers for that fear, for that concern, for that trauma, whatever you have experienced. Let's spend some time and bring those things to the Lord. Through prayer, we look at it in faith. With eyes of faith, it's much easier to see with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, looking at it. With prayer, we see through the lens of faith. So let's take it before the Lord and experience the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of the things not seen. Let's take a moment to pray together. Your heart is still saying, it can't be. Bring that doubt to the Lord. Bring it to him and let him know that you are experiencing a storm in your faith, and he will still it. Battle with him as he says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? You say, but my marriage has been broken for 20 years. Where is your faith? Let's bring it to the Lord and receive that power of faith from him. Father, we bring these things to you, knowing that you have promises for us, that you promise that you will change us, that you will make us men and women of courage, no longer fearing and shrinking back in this world. But as the wicked run away, even when no one is chasing, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I pray that you would instill that into us, not by making us heroes, not by doing anything else, but increasing the faith that we look at our lives. Help us, Lord, open up our eyes and change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.